Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue where we began yesterday to talk about the amazing invitation and the command of Jesus to each one of us to abide in Him, to walk in Him, to live in Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to hopefully talk a little bit about what that means and unpack that a little bit, but begin with the word beloved. I believe it's a word that many of us in the church can speak, but not many of us actually have internalized it at the level with the help of the Holy Spirit that we see ourselves that way, that it's the defining characteristic of our identity. It's so important for us to be able to see that. And notice the apostles in all their letters, Paul, Peter, and others, they often use that terminology. I'm just thinking, for example, of the beginning of Paul's great letter to the Romans. In verse 7, he says, "To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints." The apostles did a fantastic job of putting first things first for us and reminding us constantly of who we are. I think it's because it was so much a reality of what they were living in themselves. They realized that at the heart of Christianity and what it meant to be a disciple is that we've become something new, that we're not just following a set of teachings, moral principles, or precepts. It's not just another or just another higher form of religious expression. What's happened is, in our baptism, we were crucified with Christ, and the old man that alienated us from God, that is the flesh, the fallen nature that we have, the sin-sick condition that Jesus diagnosed so perfectly, that dominates us and keeps us under the power of sin and death, in baptism, we're united with the crucifixion of Jesus, with the cross of Christ, with that transforming, it's almost unspeakable how to describe the power of what happened on the cross. The love that was in Jesus' heart broke the back of Satan and every demonic and sinful power that's set against every human being. Jesus broke it on the cross. Love conquered sin and death in the heart of Jesus, in the bleeding body of Jesus Christ on the cross. All that separates humanity from God was dealt with in that love, and love triumphed over disobedience, over rebellion, over sin, all of that. So in Jesus, he was a man dying on that cross, the God-man. Humanity now gives God that thing, that reality that belongs to God from the human race, that is absolute trust and obedience. So Jesus becomes, as I said yesterday, and as Scripture describes him, the second Adam. Something new began on that cross. A great triumph, a great battle, and a new beginning happened when Jesus said yes to the Father with all his life and made his life a perfect offering of love to God. And God, who is love, has made us for love. Sin separates us. Sin cripples us. Sin is self-centered, not God-centered. It's not God's will be done, it's my will be done. We don't know how to love. We cannot love the way we're meant to love unless we're united to the heart of Jesus, that perfect love that was offered to the Father on our behalf. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. It is the ultimate game-changing reality. It's the beginning of the fundamental things Jesus did to make everything change. And so he's the beloved, and he shows us what it means to live like the beloved. And what it means to live like the beloved, first of all, is that your passion, your first desire, is to obey God's command. Why? Because you know God's command is good, because God is good. And that, number two, we're made for God, the Father, and we're made to be in union with him, which is the only thing that will ultimately satisfy us. But the beloved knows that God is trustworthy and that God has made us and that we owe it to him. And from our hearts, we offer ourselves with Jesus. We begin to act like beloved children of God. Jesus was free on that cross. That was a free act of love. Ironically, he was the most free person ever as he's being nailed to that cross. The entire powers of the world, the flesh and the devil, are trying to drag him from that cross. And he says yes, and he wills it. Ultimately, love is a decision. It's not just a feeling or an emotion. It includes those things, but it's fundamentally a decision to say yes to God. And Jesus shows us, friends, this is how the beloved of God live, trusting him no matter what the cost. In some ways, Jesus is saying, friends, this is sanity. This is what integrated humanity looks like. Integrated because we're aligned with our origin, our purpose, and our destiny. And our destiny and our identity as children of God. This is what we're meant to be. And so Jesus is saying, look, in this battle-torn world you live in this fallen world, the dominion of darkness, the power of Satan, and those who are aligned with him, they rage against God. And we're tempted to do the same because of the sin-sick condition of our hearts, to not trust. So Jesus is not surprised by the death he had to die. Jesus came for that purpose, to put away sin, to put away death, and to disarm the principalities and powers who literally had enslaved the human race. But from that cross, he speaks to us today. He's not still hanging on the cross, but I'm so grateful the Catholic Church has crucifixes in the cross, because we can see, we need to see, we're human beings, we're tangible, we're incarnate, and we're reminded about that act of love that saved us, and what he suffered, and what he's saying to us from that cross. He's teaching us. So beautiful. And we believe what he's saying from the cross because we know he's triumphed, that he's risen from the dead, that he's alive again, that death could not hold him down, that the new humanity, the new creation has begun in Jesus, and he's now building the kingdom. He's now adding to his numbers. He's now gathering us in to his body, uniting us to him so we can share in his glory. And he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. All power and authority belongs to him. So the church in her wisdom reminds us of the drama that happened on that cross and then unites it to us. And when we think about Jesus as the beloved Son of God, we see how much his identity allowed him to walk in and fulfill his destiny. It's interesting that right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he's baptized by John in the Jordan, we have this Trinitarian manifestation, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what happens? Jesus is just about to begin his ministry. The 3 years of gathering up disciples, forming them, shaping them, speaking to the religious leaders and to the world and manifesting and bringing the kingdom of God to the earth, Jesus knew where it was headed. He knew how much he would be rejected and hated by his own people. Because at the heights of even the people of Israel, God's precious people, what's revealed not only in the Gentiles and in those who don't know God, but even in the Jewish people themselves, is revealed the human condition. Sin sickness in the heart, and that anger that's there in the human heart, that rebellion that's there, and the pride and the rest of it, that's and the covetousness and the envy that Jesus spoke about so eloquently, so powerfully. It's even in the religious leaders. Everyone stands in need of salvation and a heart transplant, a new heart, the heart of the beloved Son of God. So Jesus knew what he was going to be engaging and that he was going to be in a battle, that he was going to war. In fact, that from the Jordan, he was headed toward the desert where he would go face to face, mano a mano, with the devil and begin to declare who he is. The devil is his enemy number one. And what happens just before he goes into the desert? The Father said, "This is my beloved." He reaffirms for Jesus. He articulates for Jesus. He's delighted to let everyone know, and he's delighted to tell his son, I love you. This is my beloved. This is my precious treasure. This is my son who bears my image. And with that identity as the foundation of Jesus' life, he leaves the waters of the Jordan and he goes into the desert and he goes to war. He goes to battle. And the Father is his strength. And he's strengthened. Father sends angels to help him and the rest, right? But ultimately, it's that relationship that strengthens Jesus. And then not long before he goes to Calvary on the Mount of Transfiguration, it happens again when Peter, James, and John are on the mountain with him, and there's that amazing manifestation. We talked about it last week and how Peter responded to it. But there again, the Father's revealing to Jesus' inner circle, to those that are going to bear the initial weight of leading the apostles and building the church, the Father declares the fundamental truth, which must have just brought so much joy to the heart of Jesus. I mean, he was transfigured and lifted up. The Father loved revealing to the apostles the beauty and majesty of his Son. And the Father said, this is my Son. He is my beloved. Listen to him. That precious reality, God is love. God is a father. God is a good father. God is a trustworthy, loving, faithful father. And Jesus shows us that truth. That no matter what the circumstances in this world, and here's the battle we face, friends, that all the circumstances, and right now the turmoil that society seems to be in, and the foolish sort of secular rage of the culture, and the insanity of Catholics like Governor Cuomo and others who are delighting and dancing in their capacity to be able to kill children right up to the point of their first breath out of the womb. This is enslavement. This is darkness. Their minds are in bondage. It doesn't matter that he was baptized and he calls himself a Catholic. Disciples of Jesus and Catholics do not live that way, okay? And he's under the power of sin and death. He really is. And so Jesus still loves him, by the way. And Jesus intercedes for him and hopes that he repents. His life has changed. But all the madness that's present in the world today that's causing so much confusion, friends, what's needed is for each one of us to remember who we are and to draw strength from our identity as children of God, as the beloved who Paul reminds us here again in verse 7, chapter 1 of Romans, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. Who are you? You are beloved. What's your call? To become a saint. That's it. That's literally why you're here on earth. That's what Jesus shows us in his whole life. And we remember, as I said yesterday, every Sunday, and hopefully many days during the week, even, we remember at the Eucharist this reality. Who are you? I'm beloved. What are you here for? To become a saint. Bingo. That's it. So we need at this destabilizing time in our society and in our culture to get stabilized. And how we get stabilized is we remember who we are. Jesus said, don't be troubled by all these tribulations that are going to happen. Remember who you are. I'm with you always till the end of the age.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.